Welcome to another edition of
the Bears Fans Online Podcast.
Win or lose, week in and week out,
we talk about
Bear football.
Let's forget who we're playing this week and just
listen to the Bears Fans Online Podcast.
And then we'll have a good time.
Oh, are you going to wrap the fans now?
I'm going to wrap the ones that
don't listen to the podcast.
Yes, I am.
Why?
You want to ask me why? Because
it's a great show.
I wanted the Bears to be the best. I wanted the Bears to have the best
podcast.
I wanted them to be the
most informative.
We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
This is what it's all about. I mean, people are getting
their Chicago Bears fixed.
That's a good
podcast.
Shut up.
Now it's time for the Bears Fans Online Podcast with your hosts,
the bad boys of Chicago radio,
Andy Long.
Get your mouth shut, jerk.
And Chris Blazek.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
They don't like us. I know that. They don't even like me, and I'm a nice guy.
But yeah, so the resort was awesome. Had a blast. Drank too much. Getting back to work was a little rough, but you know.
When did you have to go back to work?
So I try to, when I take vacations, if I'm going to take a full week, I try to break it up so I don't miss a full week of work. So I left last Wednesday, so I was able to work last Monday and Tuesday, and then I come back on a Thursday. You know, my thought is, team doesn't not see me for five straight business days, and personally, it's easier to come back knowing, hey, you just got 2 days to... it's easier to go to work when you're like, I'm leaving for vacation Wednesday. And then it's easier to come back when you're like, hey, I only got to go back for Thursday, Friday, then it's the weekend. So right. I did Wednesday to Wednesday.
That's not bad. It's actually, you know, it's like planning days off after a vacation to like have the like, yeah. I mean, anytime you come back from a trip and you have to go to work the next morning, it's just the worst feeling. You need that like period of time. At some point, like, you either do it like you did to where you have the weekend in just, like, a couple days after that, or you just have, like, you know, a day or two buffer to where it's, like, I can unpack, I can just
settle, recharge.
Right, and just brace my mind for returning to the loop, you know?
Makes coming back a little easier knowing you got the weekend right around the corner.
Should I formally start the show so we can get rolling?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, welcome, everyone, to the Bears Fans Online Podcast. We are back after... How long was it? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks now.
And this is your host, Andy Long, along with the other host of the wonderful show, Chris Blazek. And Chris, you've been on vacation. I have blown my eardrum out, so we're both kind of settling back into the routine of our lives. And thankfully, we have a lot to talk about today. The draft was the past few days. You know, let's jump right into it. Let's go into today's whiteboard, the NFL draft. Let's do it.
Now, shall we begin?
Shut up and get to the point!
So obviously, everybody was kind of waiting to see how the top 10 was going to play out. And the Baker Mayfield thing was, I think it was the morning or the night, just like the late night before the day one of the draft. And that was weird, I guess, but not entirely unexpected to see Baker Mayfield go to the Browns. Did that catch you off guard, or was that pretty much in your mind?
It did. I got to be honest. I thought it was a smokescreen. I get it. I like Baker Mayfield to a certain extent. But from a player's standpoint, I don't know if he's the real deal. I'm really on the fence with him. And honestly, yeah, I thought it was, I thought it was a bit of a smokescreen. I thought they were going Sam Darnold.
I could see, and a lot of pundits and such, kind of like they grasped it after the announcement was made, and to where the logic kind of settled in. And I believe that it makes sense for them. And I mean, I don't know what Mayfield's going to be, but this is a history making draft for like top 10 picks for quarterbacks. This is the what, four quarterbacks in the top 10 for the first time ever?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is awesome. I mean, that's exactly like what we wanted as Bears fans. The more quarterbacks, the better. Yeah. Worst case, four of them went before us. And, then that would have enabled us to potentially trade down if only three went before. So yeah, I mean, four in the top 10 was awesome. Exactly what we were kind of rooting for with Baker Mayfield. You know, he's got kind of the it factor. I don't buy the comparisons to Manziel from a personal standpoint. I think that he's got the, he's the kind of guy who's going to change the locker room because, you know, it's clear that his teammates buy into him. I just, when I watch him play on the field, that's where the Manziel comparisons come into play. He kind of, a lot of his production comes from busted plays. And so I don't think that the Manziel comparisons are fair when it comes to his personality, but to a certain extent as a player, I think they're pretty, there's some comparisons there. And that's why it would concern me taking number one overall, but you know, it's the Browns and hopefully they got it right.
And that led to the second pick, which we discussed before, was kind of like a doorway into how the rest of the top 15, top 10 would play out. And Saquon Barkley goes to the Giants, and he didn't waste any time getting that pick in either. A lot of people wondered if it was going to be a quarterback, if it was the Eli replacement deal, but no, he took the what some argue was the best player in the draft in Barkley, and it should be fun to watch him in New York. I don't know how much more mileage they're going to get out of Eli Manning, who, and I read the other day, he's, what, 37, 38 years old? Eli
yeah,
Manning?
That's I a think, s- yeah, he's up there, and I think he's got a couple years left.
Yeah, but like I feel like it was just a few years ago that the whole trade with the Chargers and that whole thing played out. Like I'm getting old.
we're getting old.
Yep.
And yeah, he's 37.
Oh man, it's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, as a Bears fan, I wanted the Giants to take a quarterback, and even from a franchise standpoint, it made sense because it's very rare that you're going to get an opportunity to pick number two overall in a draft. And when you do, I mean, typically you want to look at a guy who can change the face of your franchise for the next, you know, 15 years. But, you know, if they're committed to Eli, and clearly they are, it makes sense. You know, they haven't had, running back in quite some time, a number one running back, and putting him on the field with some of the weapons they already have. They've got some talent there. And I think bringing Barkley into the mix really, really sets them up over the next couple of years to make one final championship run with Eli at quarterback.
They had a pretty good draft too. They took Will Hernandez in the second out of UTEP. He's one of the guys that I think a lot of fans, including myself, was hoping the Bears would snag up in round two. And then Lorenzo Carter in the third, another guy who many penciled in to the Bears in the second in mock drafts. But as far as quarterback, I guess they're looking at this Kyle Lauletta. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, the quarterback from Richmond.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what exactly his future is, but they apparently think highly enough of him to settle with, well, not necessarily settle, but take their chances with a lower tier quarterback in this year's draft, and you know, go with Barkley, who could be a tremendous difference maker now.
Well, and not only that, remember last year they took Davis Webb, guy who a lot of people had, you know, thought could potentially turn into a long term starter. They took him in the third round. So I think at this point, knowing that they're probably 2 years out from Eli hanging him up, they're just going to try to throw a little mud against the wall, and hopefully one of these mid to later round quarterbacks sticks. If not, when he retires, then they'll look to get their new franchise quarterback in. So they got some options, and it's going to be one thing's for certain. It's going to be fun to watch. That's going to be a fun team to watch this year. I'm with you on their draft. I mean, Lorenzo Carter was obviously a board favorite of a lot of people. And was just a favorite of a lot of people in Chicago in general, with his connections to Georgia and Leonard Floyd. The comparisons were there. Getting Will Hernandez in the second round, another guy that a lot of Bears fans really wanted the Bears to go after in the second round. So they did. They had a phenomenal draft.
The third overall pick was Sam Darnold to the Jets. And that was like, I mean, what a stroke of luck for the New York Jets to have Sam Darnold fall in their lap. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know how Darnold feels about that. I mean, maybe he's happier going there than to Cleveland, or maybe to the Giants franchise. But he's in New York. He'll get a chance to shine. And Jets fans got to be pretty pleased with that that turnout for them, that they actually landed. Go ahead.
I don't think they envisioned Darnold being there at three when they traded up to that pick. So. Mm-hmm. I think that that's just a really, really good fit for the Jets and for Darnold. Gets to go and play with our boy Josh McCown for a year, you know, who I don't think there's a quarterback in the league who's better suited to groom a young quarterback than Josh. So Great fit for pretty much everybody involved.
The Browns surprised a lot of people with the fourth pick. Denzel Ward comes flying off the board. I don't know what they must have seen something really special in Ward to take him with the fourth pick. And maybe time will prove the Browns right, but that surprised the hell out of me, and it kind of was the first, like, oh my goodness moment of the draft.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I think that Denzel Ward definitely had top 10 potential, but I don't think anybody saw him really going that high. You know, and we talked about this before the draft. We said there's always going to be that one or two picks who, you know, in the top 10 that you didn't really see going. I predicted it would have been the left tackle, McGlinchey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ward, a great athlete. The kid seems to have just a phenomenal head on his shoulders, wants to be great, has all the physical tools. But at number four, if I'm the Browns, I don't know if I would have gone there. I mean, having the opportunity to pair Myles Garrett with Bradley Chubb, I think would have been way too enticing for me to pass up.
And this is where things got a little interesting, because a lot of, I mean, the Broncos, and then with their next pick, had they picked Chubb. But as time went along here, there was a lot being made about trades at this point that didn't work out. We know that the Bears tried to trade up. We don't know with who or to where, but based on Chubb's availability, you got to think that Pace was maybe moving up to get him at five. As I don't really, unless they were trying to trade with the Colts and get up there for Nelson or vice versa, or move with the Browns. But then, nonetheless, the Broncos had definitely calls from the Bills, turned those down once Chubb was available, and so he's a Bronco now. And they had a pretty good draft overall, Denver.
Yeah, I mean, for them to bring in a guy like Bradley Chubb, I mean, they've got some talent on that defensive line with Von Miller and Shane Ray, a guy who I was a big fan of coming out a couple of years ago from Missouri. He hasn't necessarily put it together completely. But he's definitely proven that he belongs. I mean, they have got some serious talent on that front line, and yeah, you know, I know that there were rumors as far as Pace looking to move up, and I have to imagine he was looking to move up for Chubb. As phenomenal of a prospect as Quentin Nelson was, I don't know if Pace could have sold on Chicago, giving up a lot more draft picks for an interior lineman. So that pick right there for me kind of shifted my focus as a Bears fan. It said, okay, we went from, you know, one of the top three non-quarterback prospects falling to us to putting us in prime position for a trade back. Because that meant we knew that after Denver, we knew that the Colts and the Buccaneers were not going to take a quarterback. So that's where I'm like, okay, now trading back becomes a serious option.
And the Bears put themselves, not necessarily put themselves, but they were in a frustrating position to where ideally, you know, I think a great many fans and maybe even the Bears themselves were looking to field the right phone call to get the value to move out of that eighth pick. Because you saw the Colts take Quentin Nelson at number six, and just the Bears were just one pick shy of getting a really good deal, and the Bills moved up with the Buccaneers to take Josh Allen at number seven, and the dog even is disappointed that the trade didn't work out. But yeah, the Bucs made a deal; they move out of the seventh spot, get a couple second rounders and a mid first round pick for their trouble. And yeah, so the Bears are at eight, and they're in a situation to where one of the most likely team to trade up with them is off the table, and a guy named Roquan Smith is whose name they called.
Roquan Smith, linebacker, University of Georgia.
Yeah, I think that this is somebody who was really rumored to the Bears for quite some time, and we'll never know. For me, obviously, I think Chubb was the number one target, but I'm curious what Pace would have done if Roquan Smith and Quentin Nelson were on the board. What do you think? Do you think he would have went Quentin Nelson?
It's hard to say. I would like to think so, based on the selection of Daniels in round two, who we'll get to. But, you know, honestly, I am, and this is maybe a stupid way to look at it, I was kind of glad that Nelson wasn't on the board, because if Nelson was available and Pace took Smith, mm-hmm. we'd have to listen to it for months, if not years.
Yeah, it's crazy you're saying that, because I felt the same way when the Colts took Quentin Nelson. I had I had some relief come over me, because I like Quentin Nelson. I think the guy is going to be a stud, but mm-hmm. I think that there are so many interior linemen in this draft that taking him in the top 10 to me, I didn't want him. Don't get me wrong, I would have jumped on board. I would have loved him in a Bear uniform, but I just felt that we could double up and get an interior lineman later in the draft, and while taking somebody in the top 10 that could impact another position. So I was relieved when he came off the board. I thought, you know, that the Cardinals, I thought that would have been a perfect spot for the Cardinals to trade up. But why would, you know, if you take a step back, why would they? Because they knew the Bears weren't going to take a quarterback. They knew the Niners weren't going to take a quarterback. So right. They did the smart thing. They waited. And it worked out for them. And to be honest with you, it worked out for the Bears. You know, Roquan is a playmaker in every sense of the word. Big fan of this kid. Very, very low, a high floor. You know, I mean, his bust potential of all the players in the top 10 to me is probably the lowest.
Yeah, because Smith is a day one starter, day one contributor. And I mean, people want to poo-poo him about his size. And if you watch, like, I was just kind of watching his highlights. And again, I'm just going to preface this that I am not an expert. I don't watch a lot of college football, and I don't really know the best about measurables. I'm just a fan and just have my observations about football. And that's what it is. But I just didn't feel like Smith's I didn't feel like his highlights, his best plays were like anything exceptional. But the thing is, though, Smith, his fundamentals are just excellent. His footwork, his tackling ability, his awareness of the ball and ability to diagnose a play on the fly is second to none in among the players in this draft. And I think that he's going to have a really tremendous rookie year. I'm not going to fool myself into thinking, you know, he's going to be Danny Trevathan right away, or you know, I don't know. He's a little short, but he's incredibly talented, brilliant kid, and should be a like I said, day one, he'll come in and leave his mark on the field.
Yeah, he's about as clean of a prospect on and off the field as you're going to find. Sideline to sideline, fundamentally, he is sound. I mean, his tackling, he rarely misses a tackle. You know, once he gets a hand on a ball carrier, they rarely get away from him. High motor, high football IQ. Just listening to him in interviews is so refreshing. I feel like, you know, as Bears fans, we've had a little bit of a lack of identity. You know, we had a top 10 defense last year, and a lot of the Bears fans really couldn't tell you who the leader on our defense was. And I think Roquan now gives us that homegrown talent, that leader of the defense who we've drafted, who is really going to kind of change our identity. I'm excited. I mean, this kid has, you know, just listening to him in interviews, he gets it. And he falls in line with so many of the guys that Pace has brought in from an IQ standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. And I think that he's got it all on the field, off the field. I'm excited for the kid. I'm really excited to just see him and the impact he has on the locker room.
I think he's going to assume the role that McPhee was originally brought in to do, the leader of the defense, perhaps even the eventual leader of the team on the whole from a player's perspective. McPhee was supposed to be that emotional centerpiece, the guy who you kind of defined your defense with, and obviously when you're not available, when you're on crutches, you can't be that leader. And Smith, not only by virtue of his just leadership ability, but by his position, he's probably going to be calling plays out there. I imagine he's going to have that green sticker on his helmet. And ideally, that's kind of what who was making the plays, who was making the calls last year? I'm trying to remember.
I think it started with Trevathan, Freeman at times before obviously he was gone. And then Kwiatkowski. I mean, it kind of bounced around.
And that's what happens when you got constant injuries, you know?
Christian Jones at times, yeah. And even Timu, I think. So, yeah, the fact that we just said that, you know, how many different guys were calling the plays just adds even more validity to this pick.
No, absolutely. And it was kind of cool to see the picture from the Bears war room where you saw Vic Fangio. I almost called him Fangio again. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
No, listen, I heard somebody did that on whether it be NFL Network or ESPN. I definitely got a chuckle out of it. Made me think of you.
Well, Vic was, he had a giant smile on his face. I mean, obviously everybody was enjoying the Bears pick, but Vic is kind of a stoic person, and to see him with clear joy on his face on the phone with Roquan was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's clear that we got the guy that Vic wanted. I'm excited. You know, I know there was there was some noise that came out about Roquan, if he can play middle linebacker in a 3-4, and there was some, I saw some tape that was posted of him really getting blown off of the ball in certain blocks. So I kind of went back after the pick and watched that video again, and it's definitely a little bit of a concern when you see you know, him kind of not take on blocks the right way. Listen, as a middle linebacker, sometimes, you know, you have to sacrifice yourself for the team. And that is taking on that lead block and almost filling that hole with the offensive lineman who's blocking you. And what you saw sometimes with Smith is instead of taking on that block, he would try to get around it. But in the process of doing that, he would really open up that hole because that offensive lineman was able to kind of just get out of the way and push him out of the way while taking out one of his teammates.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, even Brian Urlacher had a ton of problems shedding blocks. I mean, that's just football, you know. I mean, I think that Smith's size is going to be a limiting factor in that. And who knows? He may develop a good move to kind of use his agility and speed and athleticism to shake the lineman. But, you know, I think for the most part what we would want out of him year one is to show that the game's not too fast for him, that it's not too physical for him, and that he mm-hmm. can make good tackles, make some plays, and just kind of put his nose on the ball like we would want any linebacker to. You know, I don't think that we necessarily need a world beater. We just need somebody who's consistent and efficient and intelligent. And I think he'll do all those things with ease.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited. I think that this guy really, like we said earlier, gives us that identity on our defense that we've kind of missed. And I'm really excited to see him jump in there with Trevathan and with Leonard Floyd, with Hicks and Goldman and Fuller, and really kind of take that defense to the next level. So big, great pick. Very, very high floor with the guy. I just don't see him not getting it done, to be honest with you. So I'm excited.
James Daniels, offensive lineman, Iowa.
Okay, so in round two, the Bears were looking to probably go with either maybe a corner, receiver, edge rusher, tackle, offensive lineman of some kind. A bunch of different names were being floated around about what would work. And the best player arguably available at the time was taken by the Bears, and that was James Daniels, center out of Iowa. He can play, he's primarily a center. Bears say they're going to play him at guard. James Daniels is a pretty good pick. Is that maybe not the like sexiest pick? An offensive lineman, especially a center, is not the kind of guy that makes you, I don't know. A lot of people were kind of like confused maybe a little bit by this pick, but Daniels has a bright future, very talented, and I think the Bears made the right call by taking him.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's not the sexy pick. It's not the I think a lot of people out there were chiming for the edge rusher. I mean, I feel like we were asking for an edge rusher at every pick, but listen, you got your franchise quarterback. You've built around him as far as some offensive weapons, and now you got to protect him. I think that with the departure of Josh Sutton.
You got it right first time.
Yes, with Josh Sutton, I think that left a little bit of a hole in our front five. And I'll be honest, when the Bears run the clock, I'm like, oh man, this is a dream for me. Harold Landry drops all the way down. We got Landry, we got Lorenzo Carter, got Josh Jackson. So he got, you know, some weapons on defense. And so I was definitely wanting one of those guys. You know, when they took Daniels, you know, I was pretty, you know, did some research on him before the draft. So I knew kind of some of his backstory. And as much as I wanted an edge guy, Daniels is a good pick. I mean, this kid is rated by pretty much everybody as one of the top two or three centers in the draft, and by a lot of people, the number one center. So I think it was a great pickup. He's young. He's very polished. He's a big boy. I think that, what is he, 20 years old? Doesn't turn 21.
He's not even, he's going to be, I think he turns 21 during the season. So
yeah,
he's very young.
I mean, that is a lot of talent there for our coaches to work with. He's got a great head on his shoulders, huge, great football IQ. The way, you know, what stood out to me when I'm watching his tape is the way he gets to the second level of his blocks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is really, I know that there's talk about trying him at guard early on, but I think that's just trying to ease the transition for a young rookie. But come start of the season, this kid's going to be starting center for us. His ability to pick up blocks at the second level is really, really rare. And I think as we're able to develop him, we have a potential Pro Bowler on our hands.
Yeah, I mean, his athleticism is I mean, I could see why they would want him to work at guard primarily, just because of his athleticism and his athleticism. He's surprisingly agile. I mean, there was a couple injury concerns with him. I think maybe he had a bit of a knee injury, but it wasn't anything significant. But Daniels, a good pick. But as far as, like, I wanted to bring this up, and we'll talk about this with Anthony Miller as well. You talked about Josh Sitton being gone. Yeah. One of the criticisms of this offseason has been self-created needs, self-generated needs by the Bears, to where, you know, you already had a starter. You had a great established talent in Josh Sitton. You let him go, and now all of a sudden you have a need that wasn't there. So same thing with Anthony Miller coming up and Cam Meredith. You didn't have a need at receiver. You could have matched Meredith. You know what he's capable of, but you chose not to. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a very tired argument, a very tired discussion already with the Cam Meredith thing, but I just kind of wanted to get your two cents on how you feel about that. Do you feel like these are self-generated holes, or is this just the team doing what's best for the team?
Well, I mean, in this day and age of the salary cap, you're going to create holes for yourself because you can't afford to pay everybody. These are two separate issues to me. I mean, the Josh Sitton letting him go, we were about to pay him $8 million a year. You know, Sitton had a nice season last year, but was he worth $8 million? No, I don't think so. And one thing I believe that played into the release of Sitton was the fact that we wanted to get Cody Whitehair to his natural position at guard, and we couldn't do that while Sitton was here. So I'm okay with the Sitton move. I like I said, $8 million a year it's a lot of money to pay for a guard in his early 30s, especially when you had a young guard kind of waiting in the wings to take over. I'm good with that. The Cam Meredith, yeah, I mean, we definitely created a little bit of a hole. I felt like just as we were starting to get some depth at wide receiver, you know, we created a need where we maybe didn't need to. Right. You know, but I think, you know, Ryan Pace has shown time and time again that he's always looking down the road. And I think that it was pretty clear early on that he was going to come away with a receiver out of this draft class.
Yeah.
This is a very, very deep, you know, not necessarily at the top end as far as elite talent at the wide receiver position, but this draft class is deep. And I think he knew that, and that had something to do with him letting Meredith go.
Yeah, and a lot of what he said about Meredith, maybe not so subtly, indicated that they were not going to rely on his health for that price anyway. Now the Bears, I don't think it's so much a matter of money right now. I think that they've got, I think, like the fifth most, I've got it right in front of me here, the fifth most cap, and this is before they've signed the rookie class. This is as of a couple days ago. They have about $23 million in cap. That's fifth most in the NFL. So I don't think it was necessarily at all a matter of paying Meredith $5 million or paying Josh Sitton X million dollars. I think it was more a matter of philosophy. I think it was a matter of maybe they didn't think that Sitton was athletic enough. Mm-hmm. And maybe he had just too much mileage. And with Meredith, I sympathize in this regard. I think they're just tired of relying on guys with these major injuries, you know? And like after last season, especially two seasons ago, I mean, we've been in this weird Bears injury hell for so long to where they've had these guys who the potential and talent is either there or potentially there. And it's just been constantly wasted because down they go. And all of a sudden you've got, you know, Josh Bellamy playing and you've got Cornelius Edison starting. And it's like, you know, it's nothing against those guys, but it's like, these are not starters. And with Ryan Pace, he's one.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I think that when we were put in a position because of the roster that Ryan Pace took over, you had to build a lot of your team through free agency. Well, typically when you have to sign free agents, those players come with certain warts. And got a guy like Drell Freeman, Danny Trevathan, Pernell McPhee, Willie Young, part of the reason that they were able to hit the market is because their teams didn't have faith in them staying healthy. They didn't want to invest big dollars in them. So I think that Ryan Pace, by letting – you're on the right track here. I agree. He's trying to almost change the culture when it comes to health inside House Hall. And,
yeah.
And a big part of that is draft, is truly building your team through the draft, because you're able to avoid those guys. Because I'll tell you, you know, some of those veterans that we've signed over the years that ended up with injuries, they had red flags coming out of college. I know Pernell McPhee did. I know Willie Young did.
Yeah.
So I think as you continue to build through the draft, you get your guys in here, that's going to force us to rely a little less on free agency and hopefully turn the corner when it comes to health on the team.
Yeah. Now, and that's also indicative here with Anthony Miller. So let's go ahead and just get Miller here brought up.
Anthony Miller, wide receiver, Memphis.
Anthony Miller, the Bears trade back into the second round. Caught a lot of people off guard. They gave up one of their fourth round picks this year and next year's second round pick. Very aggressive trade. And they really wanted Miller. Miller is a 5'11", 200-pound receiver out of Memphis. Extremely, extremely, I don't want to say cocky, but he's Hollywood. You know, he's very, got a great fiery attitude, compares himself to Steve Smith, former Carolina Panther. I'm jacked that they got Miller. I think he's going to be awesome as a Bear. But as soon as I saw this, the Miller pick, I was like, you know, Kevin White is probably gone. Because, I mean, this is this pick, and obviously they made another receiver selection later, which we'll get to. Say what you will about Kevin White being Nagy's reclamation project or whatever. It's going to be rough that he even makes the roster at this point.
I disagree. But again, hey, what do I know?
No. Yeah, fight for him. I love it. You know?
Here's the thing. Kevin White is a former first-round pick. He hasn't produced, not because of lack of talent, but because of lack of health. Right. I'm pretty certain a large chunk of his salary next year is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So at this point, why would you let him go? I've said all along, I want to be in a position where Kevin White is our number five or number six receiver.
Yeah.
Now, the one knock on him is he doesn't play special teams. So that's going to hurt you. But with his salary, his pedigree, his draft background, the fact that the GM who did invest a top 10 pick in him is still here, I don't see him going anywhere unless he gets injured again. Then I can see the Bears saying, you know what? We gave it one last go, and you can't stay on the field, so we're going to go ahead and part ways.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're almost at a position now where he's our number five receiver.
Yeah,
number four, number five, and that I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, he's right where he should be for where he's at in his career, fourth, fifth on the depth chart. I think that basically he's got to just light it up in training, or not necessarily in training camp, but in preseason. He's got to basically put together a really nice string of film to where the Bears say, well, this guy, you know, we're finally seeing the indications that he's a first round talent, that he's an elite wide receiver that we drafted him to be, or at least he's on that path. And plus, I think ideally they would like Kevin White to work out, not only for the, you know, guaranteed money, but also because that way you're not shoving your rookies into situations to where they need to immediately produce. They can take some time to get worked into the offense and just sort of organically filter out who's who. Yeah.
What happens if you, let's say we cut Kevin White.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? You know, we have our top four receivers. You're our fifth, but you don't play special teams. So we're going to keep somebody else in place of you who can contribute in more phases than just offense.
Yeah.
Kevin White then goes and signs with the Packers and puts it together.
Yeah,
actually stays healthy.
Yeah.
How frustrating would we be at that point? It's like, why wouldn't we just stick with him?
No,
so I think they're going to ride this thing out with him for the year, unless he gets hurt again.
That's the doomsday philosophy that I get it. I mean, I think that's like the nightmarish situation for a lot of Bears fans, not just with the Packers, but it's just like, you know, why do these guys?
Anybody. But yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
I gotta
hear your accent coming again?
Yeah, the Chicago accent here, because I feel like this is a typical, like, why do these guys always work out when they leave the Bears? And it's like that. I feel like that is a very typical thing, you know.
I'm with you.
And I don't even know how true necessarily it is. I think that it's a little bit unnecessary for that kind of paranoia. I understand it. But to me, if you've got Anthony Miller, you've got Allen Robinson, you've got these great young Gabriel, got these awesome wide receiver depth chart. You don't need Kevin White. And if Kevin White goes somewhere and works it out, it's because the team he goes to is probably poor at wide receiver and can get him the kind of reps that he needs to become a routinely involved receiver.
I'm with you. I hear you. Yeah. I just feel like we've put so much into the kid. Let him, if he can stay healthy, let him sit on our bench as our number four, number five guy.
No.
And I'd feel much more comfortable if Allen Robinson goes down, having somebody with Kevin White's ability to be able to step in and perform.
No, and I'm rooting for him. I don't want to get, you know, give any sort of impression that I don't like Kevin White or I don't want him to. Absolutely. I would love for Kevin White to just blow up the league. You know, that'd be amazing. Yeah. What a wealth of riches that would be for the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, I didn't read the article, but I saw a couple of clips where people were talking about, do you pick up the fifth-year option on Kevin White, which is kind of the exact opposite of what we were just talking about, whether he's going to make the roster or not. But, you know, I'm not sure on dollar amounts, but we didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Kyle Fuller. He performed, and then we had to pay him, you know, triple of what the fifth-year option, or at least double what the fifth-year option would have costed. So we have a deadline coming up where we have to decide whether we pick up that fifth-year option. I don't think there's a chance in hell they do it.
No.
But based off what happened with Kyle Fuller, it's got to be something that you at least think about.
I mean, I'm sure Ryan Pace is weighing whether or not to do that. And he, of course, when asked that question just earlier this past week, he kind of waffled and said, you know, we'll wait and see on that one. I mean, it's too hard to compare Kevin White and Kyle Fuller's situations. Kyle Fuller missed an entire season with a knee injury. A lot of his problems seem to be more along the lines of adapting to a 3-4 and like getting his head back into the game. It seemed like a lot of it was just pure desire. Kevin White, I don't think nobody's ever really questioned his emotion and his drive. It's more of just like,
you just can't stay on the field.
Can you take a tackle and not, you know, have your legs split in five places? You know, like it's, or in this case, or in last season's case, his shoulder. So, I mean, I if I'm Ryan Pace, I don't think that's much of a factor. I think the, you know, with Kyle Fuller, it's like you almost needed to give him that carrot on a string to say, hey, man, we're not picking up your option. If you want to get paid, you got to earn it. And you're right. With Kevin White, it's, I mean, I feel like there's a similar sort of mentality to where it's like, hey, you know, you could get paid very well, but I mean, he's not exactly staring down the barrel of cornerback money. If he puts out a great year and the Bears don't pick up his option, then he absolutely deserves whatever he gets as far as a good contract.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
But
yeah, so I mean, but you know, you got to be excited about our wide receiver grouping now, a lot more now than we were, you know, 3 months ago.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. So Anthony Miller. So Miller, I didn't even read about this until he was drafted. So he put an article in the Players Tribune. It's like Derek Jeter's online website.
Well, hold on before you get into that.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the whole idea of trading back into the second round.
Okay, sure.
Are you a fan? And then let's get into the player, because I want your opinion on this.
Okay, works for me.
What are your thoughts? So we give up basically our second round next year,
yes,
and a fourth round pick this year to get a second round pick from the Patriots. What are your thoughts?
So one of the ways that I saw it kind of explained that really kind of, you know, makes sense to me is that the Bears essentially gave up a fourth to have a have another second round pick this year. And this is assuming it would be a good value trade if the Bears were picking in the late 20s next year. That's a big assumption, but that's clearly the thought behind making this move is that, hey, we're not going to pick until the late portion of the second round next year anyway. We got two fourths this year. I'll go ahead and give up one of those fourths to get this guy. I have that much conviction about him that I feel like we can't wait any longer. I need to get him now.
Yeah, we paid a fourth round pick to advance to get our second round pick next year earlier.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's not a big deal. Plus, Pace seems to do a lot of his best picks. A lot of his best selections are in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. I mean, not necessarily the sixth round, but 3, 4, 5. That's generally what a lot of the players that I expect to be of a decent caliber, that seems to be where he's got an affinity for picking in those rounds anyway.
Yeah, so we're both okay with the trade-off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who are more, and I was discussing this on our forum a little bit, mm-hmm. that there is some, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's just exclusive to the Bears or not, but there is no franchise, I don't believe, there's no fans of any other franchise that are more impassioned about value than Bears fans.
And obsessed with draft picks, right?
More picks, trade down. Always trade down. Never, you know, the more picks, the better. If we get more picks, we'll get more players, and we have less of a chance to screw up. And it's like...
Yeah, it's like they're afraid to make the wrong decision, so they want more bullets, you know?
Right. And I get it. I mean, I part of me definitely understands, especially like if the Bears had made that deal with the Buccaneers, or that the Buccaneers made, rather, with the Bills to get some second rounders, and it's like, you know, hey, we came out on top on that one, and I love that trade. I love that trade. They picked up Vita Vea, and they got a couple second rounders out of it. So it's like, that would have been awesome for the Bears. I would have applauded that deal. But I'm also like, hey, Roquan Smith kicks ass. Like, I'm very happy with that. Whereas a lot of people with, like, Anthony Miller, and we'll get to him in a minute, but when they traded up to get him, it's like people weren't really so much, some people, I should say, were not so excited that we got an exciting, awesome player in Miller. They're more irritated. It's like Pace couldn't help himself. You know, he had to just trade up and give up. You know, and it's just like, have some perspective, man. Like, take a deep breath. We got a really cool player out of this, and just, you know, let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, and the initial reaction, I think, was along the lines from a lot of people of what you just kind of went through, but I'm pretty pleased to see that a lot of Bears fans' common sense has kicked in, and they've kind of backed off that initial stance.
Yeah,
I think what you see a lot is giving up multiple picks in one round to get an equal, giving up a first last year to get a second this year. Now, that would have, you know, you see that a lot with like first round picks, but in this, it's really, we gave up a fourth round pick to get an advance, and I'm good with it. And it's been refreshing to see that even though the initial reaction was, oh, here we go, Pace again, yeah, a lot of Bears fans have backed off, and they've seen that it was actually a pretty, pretty solid deal for the Bears.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people on the whole are pleased with Pace's draft this year. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people, mm-hmm. Pundits out there, and NFL critics, college critics, things like that, that thought that Pace had a great draft. And I was actually pretty surprised. I was kind of scouring around the internet, Bears forums and communities, to kind of see what people generally thought. And even the most curmudgeonly of Bears fans really liked the bulk of this draft. And that to me is like, I don't know, it felt very satisfying. It's like, okay, thank you. Thank you for at least, you know, having the perspective to, you know, hey, they made some good picks. It wasn't, now we'll come back to this later. But let's get Miller out of the way here so we can finish up day two day two. So, 'cause the Bears did not pick in the third, Miller, what do you think about him? I think I love his attitude. I know that much.
Yeah, you know, he is a very confident football player. He, you know, when he said that he models his game after Steve Smith, I mean, I see it in the way that he kind of carries himself on, especially on the field. He plays with a little bit of an edge. But the real comparison for me when I watch him play is Jarvis Landry. The way he works the underneath, the way that he makes some tough catches look easy, I really, really think we got ourselves a guy who can step in and be that that fill that role that we were hoping Jarvis Landry would have potentially filled if we'd have signed him in free agency. His run after the catch is probably even more impressive than Landry, even though I think Landry takes a little bit of an unnecessary beating for that based on the system that he was in. His acceleration, he's actually got probably a little bit more of a, he's a little bit more of a deep threat than Landry. He's a compact guy. What is he? 5'10", I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, 5'11" or so. It just depends on if he's what kind of shoes he's wearing that day, I guess.
Yeah, 5'11", 190, I think. He's a battler. You want to see him improve a little in a couple areas. One specifically is blocking, but I think he's got the right mental makeup that his blocking is going to be just fine. But as a receiver, he's exciting to watch, and knowing that the offensive system that we're going to be implementing makes him even more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is one of those guys who is. I mean, obviously he's got a long way to go, but he could be a hero in the city of Chicago if you have that attitude, if you have that like just confidence and swagger, and you can also follow through and you have the skill to back it up, people in Chicago will just drool over you. And I think Miller, he hasn't even played a snap in the league yet, but if you can talk the talk and walk the walk, he's going to be a huge addition. And I think it would just be a great acquisition for defining the culture of Nagy's locker room and the confidence that he wants to instill in the team to be. It's like, you know what? Forget what people say. We're the best. Let's prove it. You know, like, I feel like that's essential. And Miller's going to bring that.
1,400 yards last year, 14 touchdowns, 95 receptions. I mean, this kid's got the athleticism. But he's also got the production. And that's the same thing with Roquan Smith, it's not just, athletic freaks, combine warriors. We've picked guys who have the traits but also have the production to back it up, which is what you need to avoid, getting yourself in trouble as a franchise, drafting just your athletic guys who haven't really put it together. So this kid, I think, is going to be really, really exciting in this offense and going to do some good things for us. He's, ideally, I think he's a slot guy, but he proved early on in his college career he can play multiple positions, multiple roles as a wide receiver, and I think we're going to see Nagy really, really bounce him around to different spots in the field and create matchup nightmares for opposing defenses.
Oh, yeah, and I was just kind of speculating about the depth chart of just like, look at like all the options: Howard, Cohen, Robinson, Miller, Gabriel, possibly Kevin White, Trey Burton, Deion Sims, Adam Shaheen. Like, that's, you got some weapons, man. Like, I know that it's not like, some of those guys are unproven. Maybe they're, they got to be healthy, but like, if everyone's healthy and everyone's clicking, that's a nice depth chart.
Yeah. And they're young. They're all young. We're mm-hmm. three deep at tight end. If Deion Sims is, I know people want to hate on Deion Sims, but if he's your number three tight end, I'd match him up against any number three tight end around the league. And if you watch that Philadelphia Eagles offense last year, they ran a lot of three tight end sets. So yep. Deion Sims is going to get called on to perform this year. We're three deep at tight end. And now with Robinson, with Gabriel, with Miller, hopefully with Kevin White healthy, and we're not done. I think that we added a couple other wide receivers, but wouldn't surprise me to see them bring in another receiver via free agency. So mm-hmm. We have depth at our skill positions, not even counting Cohen and Howard at running back, and they're all young. I mean, it's exciting, and obviously it's all going to come down to Mitch, but to know that Pace A drafted his quarterback and now is putting him in the best possible position to be successful, it's refreshing to see.
So Ryan Pace won a lot of goodwill with the balls to trade back into the second round. A lot of people were celebrating the pick of Miller, and then in round four, a lot of that goodwill was washed away based on the reaction. And I was a little bit confused about it too. But the pick came in for, this is kind of a, he's kind of a positionless player, linebacker, safety, 6'1", 230 pounds from Western Kentucky, vaunted football factory, Western Kentucky, Joel Ebuniwe.
Jolene Ebuniwe, linebacker, Western Kentucky University.
If I hope I'm saying that right. Ebuniwe.
Yeah, I'm looking. Iye Buniwe.
Yeah.
Iye Buniwe. Let's just call him Iggy.
Iggy, Iggy is what he goes by 90% of the time. Yeah, so Iggy. And Iggy is, he's a special teams, a weapon. I think that as soon as I kind of, I watched his highlights because I had no idea who the hell he was. And a lot of the outrage was like, who the hell is this? Who the hell is this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know who this guy is. But like, I watched his tape and I was like, man, this guy's physical. Like, he hits. One of the comps that I felt like was really, really good was Brandon Iambideo. And for what he did as a Bear, to where he kind of, he was special teams depth, but he was, or I'm sorry, he was linebacker depth, but he was a special teams just missile. Like, I feel like that'd be actually well worth a fourth round pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, this was probably the one pick that I really was not a fan of. I think there was way too much talent still on the board to take this kid. You know, that being said, I think that Pace stumbled upon him when he was, you know, scouting Roquan and the other middle linebackers and probably fell in love with the guy. You know, he actually, you know, when you watch him play, I mean, he has very similar traits to what Roquan Smith does. Obviously not at that level, but they're very similar style middle linebackers. And I think that, you know, one thing that you saw last year was our linebackers struggled in coverage. You know, Trevathan obviously did not, but Kwiatkowski and John Timu, I think that this really puts Timu on the bubble to make this roster.
Right.
You know, we're in a passing league now, and I think that now we have two young middle linebackers who both can cover running backs and tight ends.
Right, and the other thought was that with this pick, they're going to give depth for the linebackers to drop in coverage. This opens up opportunities for Floyd to rush the passer more instead of, out of necessity, being forced to drop into coverage. It also maybe tips their hand a little bit. They're going to shift Kwiatkowski to the outside and move him more into a pass rushing type player. I was a little upset about it just because I didn't know who he was, and I felt like because this guy was such an unknown, like universally unknown, that you could have had him much later in the draft. But I mean, Ryan Pace has shown that he's not willing to take that chance a lot of times, and he's going to just take him there and live with it.
Yeah, and a lot of the pundits that I've seen did peg this guy to be a, you know, a third or fourth round pick. So I think, yeah, he was a little bit of an unknown to pretty much all of us. But you know, a lot of the, like the Mel Kuypers and the McShays, you know, a lot of the guys on NFL Network, they were really excited about this pick. So my problem is, I see him at best, he's our third linebacker right now, and that's at best. You know, in all reality, I don't, you know, I heard all the Kwiatkowski, you know, whispers about moving outside. So I went back this morning and watched Kwiatkowski's college game tape. And he's great at blitzing up the middle. He's kind of, you know, shoots out like a rocket. But I don't know if he's got the ability to move to an outside pass rusher. So let's say he does, then that means that Iggy here is our, what, number three middle linebacker?
Yeah, sounds right.
So maybe they see him as a future replacement for Danny Trevathan. And then the idea of having two guys with the athleticism of Roquan and Iggy here on the field at the same time, you know, was very enticing. So maybe that's what they're thinking. But if Kwiatkowski doesn't make the move to outside linebacker, which I don't know if I see that in the cards, then that means this guy's our number four linebacker.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm willing to let this play out. I feel like it's a fourth round pick, so yeah. I mean, the expectations for him to be a bit more than, say, if anyone taken in the later rounds would be, but if he can be a game changer on special teams in the first 2 years of his career, regardless of how much he plays at linebacker, I mean, I would love for him to work out as a linebacker. I just don't know if that's what they see for him. I don't know if it's something to where they may use him in some sort of like a hybrid package, to where he's sort of rotating in as a maybe a run stopper, as a hybrid safety kind of thing. I don't know. I'm just keeping an open mind.
I hear you.
I want to give him the chance to. I want and give Ryan Pace the chance to be like, okay, show me what this. If you think he's so special, show me what you got. So we'll see.
Yeah, we may listen. Danny Trevathan is not the model of health, and we may end up looking back at this thing saying, you know, wow, we are glad that we got this kid in the fold, because Trevathan goes down, and I can't stomach another season of John Timu trying to cover.
I think that the one thing that really comforted me about this pick and watching some of the film I watched was the guy has just got a ton of passion. And I know that's like a meatball-y thing to you know, I really like the guy's passion out there, the fire. I think that he after he makes a hit, you know, he's just like, he's that ball of the fury, you know? And I was like, yeah, that could be kick ass. Like, I don't know. I love that attitude. I love that demeanor. And to me, like, you can be undersized and make it in the NFL. I mean, as long as your body holds up, if you have that confidence and that like will to dominate. So I hope it works out, man. But I mean, I'm with you. Initially, it was kind of like, oh, okay. But, you know, we'll see. Long way to go here for this young man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see. I mean, obviously we're rooting for him. And I think that this also speaks to the void left with Chandler Jones. I mean, or Christian Jones.
Christian Jones, yeah.
You know, not just as a backup, you know, linebacker, but a special teams player. So thinking we're going to see this kid step in day one and contribute pretty heavily on special teams.
Bears' next pick was in round 5. Bilal Nichols out of Delaware is defensive lineman.
Bilal Nichols, defensive lineman, Delaware.
From what I've understood, he can play pretty much any down position in a 3-4. I'd have to pull up his height and weight and stuff here.
He's 6'4". He's going to play predominantly a 5 technique for us. I think he's your traditional 3-4 defensive end.
Okay.
A big boy, 3-4, and he is ripped. I mean, there is it's clear that he is committed to the gym. He's not a fat 3-4. I mean, he's got a lot of muscle on his body and this kid can play. His pad level is really what stands out when I'm watching him on tape. He is consistently staying low and fighting through blocks one-on-one. I mean, obviously coming out of where'd he go? Delaware?
Delaware Blue Hens, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, watching his tape, which was hard to find in general, but finding plays where he wasn't double-teamed was hard to find. But on the plays where he was not double-teamed, I mean, he rarely lost a one-on-one battle, which is exactly what you expect when you're pulling a guy from the University of Delaware. So it was, he's a big, big body guy. I think he's going to come in immediately and push Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris for that third, D tackle spot / DN on the five technique right. For.
Yeah. 6'4", 300 pounds of just dude. And, I think that the criticisms I've read are that his ability as a pass rusher is not exactly where they'd like it to be, which is maybe why he fell as far as he did. But I mean, that's something you can work on and maybe improve his hands or his footwork, just technique.
He's going to get better. I can't imagine he's ever had coaching like he's going to get here with Vic and the rest of our defensive coaches. I mean, but he's got the potential and he kind of fits the mold of, you know, I'm starting to see why Pace likes these small school guys, because nothing has been handed to them. You know, they've had to fight for everything that they've gotten, and this kid really fits the that mold. He's a smart kid, really, really high football IQ, plays well with his hands, but definitely needs coaching, needs some refinement, and I think that's a big reason why he slipped down to the 5th round.
Yeah, I think he's going to be heavily featured this season in a rotation at along the defensive line. I'm not like. My expectations for him, I mean, obviously out of the 5th round, his rookie, just prove that you can hang, you know. I think that pitting him against a guy like Bullard is going to be excellent because it's like, you know, this is his opportunity. And it's like, you got to prove it. And now here's this kid, this huge, muscular kid who's just raw and ready to be shaped. That's like, you're going to lose your job to this guy. So you need to prove it.
Yeah, I have to think that Pace and a lot of other people in the front office feel the same way that we do about Bullard. I mean, I'm at about you know, at my wit's end with Jonathan Bullard, all the potential, all the promise, and he really hasn't put any of it together. It's been kind of frustrating to watch.
Oh yeah, especially because he was so heralded, you know, coming out as some considered him like one of the best steals of that draft. And I mean, I can think of maybe one time he had a good showing in like a game or a preseason game, but he has a major problem with just kind of disappearing and not doing anything bad necessarily, just not being exceptional. And this is the time, and it's like there's no more excuses for him, you know. And I think that, you know, I think that this year is going to be nice for him, but Bullard, you know, he's got to find it within himself, man. This is, again, like we've discussed, and like Pace has said, it's like you're front and center now, dude. You got to prove that you can hang in this league. And if he doesn't, you know, this young man is going to take his position and run with it. So
yeah, I mean, this is what you want. You want to bring guys into the back end of the roster that are going to push some guys who may have underperformed, and it would not surprise me that if Nichols, after a couple years of being coached up, if he turns into a very, very good starting D lineman for us. He's got the size, he's got the motor, he seems to have the football IQ. I think he just needs a little refinement, and hopefully the message is received by Bullard and, to an extent, Roy Robertson Harrison. Hopefully those guys come out this year and turn into something that we can rely on. The good thing about the one thing that Nichols brings that those two don't is he's got experience playing nose also. He's ideally, he's not, you know, he's not your typical nose tackle. That being said, he has proven that he can anchor and take on the beating that your nose tackles take. And, you know, obviously, you know, that's a huge, huge win for us to have guys who can play multiple positions, especially along the defensive front.
Yeah.
'Cause right now we don't have that other than Golden and Hicks. The other guys really kind of fall into one role, and that's it.
Yep, and he'll be a nice option to help kind of relieve a lot of, like, Hicks just saw the field too much last year. I mean, there's no Bears fan that doesn't love Akeem Hicks and what he brings to the table, but the guy needs a little bit of a break. He needs to be rotated out every now and then and given some time to breathe, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
So he'll be very useful in that regard as well. But absolutely terrific addition. I think he's going to leave an impact here as a rookie. So here's, I'm kind of curious to get your opinion on this next player.
Kylie Fitz, edge rusher, University of Utah.
A sixth round pick. Kylie Fitz, Utah Ute, is kind of a defensive end. He's going to play edge. 6'4", 263 pounds. This guy is high risk, high reward. And the main thing that you have to discuss not only is the name Kylie a little unusual, the injuries, man. Like this kid has, his entire college career was just crippled by injuries. I mean, you know, metaphorically and literally. Lots of problems staying on the field, but the Bears clearly felt like, you know what, he had a great showing in the combine, put up some great shuttle times, 31 bench press reps. He's got the physical tools to do it, but if his body doesn't hold up, then maybe all you did was burn a sixth rounder. So what are your thoughts on Mr. Fitz?
This is what I kind of like when you talk about your sixth and your seventh round picks. You got to bring guys in who just have had some bad luck or not been able to put it together, but have the traits that if things start to click, they can turn into potential starters. And I think that he falls into that. I mean, four-star recruit coming out of high school, committed to UCLA, went there for a year, transferred then to Utah. He looks the part. I mean, he is a big man, long arms, and when he has seen the field, it's clear that he's a force to be reckoned with. But like you said, he just has not been able to stay on the field, and it's frustrating. But you know, that doesn't mean that he can't turn it around and he can't get in with us and get in the weight room and get with our doctors and put a plan in place to make sure that he's taking care of his body, because. You want to talk about boom or bust, worst case, he's a six-round pick. Right. You know, we lose him and he just can't stay on the field. But best case, this kid can turn into a potential starter on the outside, which to say that out of a six-round pick is crazy, but it's the truth. He's got the pedigree and he's got the ability. If he can stay healthy I think we could potentially really love this kid down the road.
Yeah, I didn't see. I'd have to do some more research. Did you come across in your study of this kid where, like, if he had stayed healthy, ideally where he would have been projected to go?
Yeah, I saw a couple guys talk about the pick, saying they expected him that he's a third round talent. But he really didn't play at all. What are the most games he's played?
He played 25 games in 4 seasons.
Yeah. So at that point, you're really going off of pure potential. But I know at the combine, he definitely turned some heads. I mean, I think that a lot of people I saw were saying he's a third round talent,
but I see.
You got to take that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
With the fact that he's played so few games.
Now my major concern with him, it wasn't so much like he had these like knee injuries and things like that. He had a foot fracture, the Lisfranc fracture. I'm probably saying that wrong. He had ankle problems, issues with his shoulders, and I mean, it's kind of like there's a laundry list, short list of injuries that have plagued him. And just in my recollection, Zach Miller, his injury report sounds a lot like Miller. Miller had a lot of similar injuries, and they just never went away, especially with his feet. Feet injuries are reoccurring, and they linger, and they don't just go away. You know, you can't just put like a couple screws in there and everything's fine. Like all that constant impact re-aggravates the hell out of every foot injury. And I mean, that was 2 years ago in 2016 when he had that surgery. I don't know if it's been a problem since then. I couldn't find anything that said so. I think that in a situation for 2018, you could have this guy, special teams is going to be his bread and butter. Yeah, he's going to be maybe worked in every now and then as part of a defensive package, maybe a little. If there's injuries to elsewhere, then obviously he's going to be forced into action. But I think that his focus for this year should be to rock and roll on special teams, be a guy who maybe blocks some kicks or gets in there on kick coverage and makes some nice tackles. Just kind of put together 16 games of tape and prove that you can hang. And again, like I've said that a few times already this show, that prove if you can hang, obviously it's obvious, you know. But with Fitz, it's kind of like, hey man, we took a chance on you. We just want you to stay healthy and we can work on focusing your craft as we go. There's no urgency here. Let's mold you.
Absolutely. This could be also on the flip side, he could be a guy you see they kind of redshirt for his first year.
Yeah, you know, and I mean if there is any injury concern maybe in preseason or training camp, if something gets tweaked or something's wrong, then I mean I could totally see him being I don't know about practice squad. That is possible, but I mean like if he has any sort of injury that like as foot or ankle, something familiar injury-wise this past, yeah, they'll probably just shelve him and just say, hey, we'll work with you throughout the year with our training staff and stuff, but it's not even worth putting you back out there right now just because of, there's no, again, like we said, there's no urgency for him.
Yeah,
right now.
The talent's there. I got to say, you know, I know, I'm sure we'll talk more about this a little later, but it was pretty frustrating for me that this was our only attempt, unless I'm missing somebody to add an edge rusher.
Well, that was sort of a big people were really frustrated that the Bears didn't take an edge rusher until this late in the draft. And one of the things that kind of became a trend was that there's a lot of NFL GMs that clearly didn't really like a lot of the edge rushers that were available in this class, because a lot of the big names just kept falling. But yeah, so I mean, there's clearly the edge rushing class was maybe not as great as advertised, at least
well,
in the eyes.
My concern though, it's one of the most important positions on the field. I'd say quarterback, you know, left tackle, and then pass rusher. And we are very thin at pass rusher. We're putting a lot of stock right. And I granted the offseason's not over. I think you're going to see some cap casualties. You got Willie Young. You got. Lamar Houston still kind of sitting out there.
Yeah.
I could see them taking another flyer on Lamar. I'd rather have Lamar Houston than Willie Young, but I'm concerned when it comes to the edge rusher position. But I know that you mentioned it earlier, maybe this is a sign that they are going to move Kwiatkowski to the outside.
Possible. I think that they've got Lamar's number just in case something goes awry or they can't. You know, I'm sure that they're going to be watching after training camp concludes, when they start doing after the first cut down to 53. I have no doubt they're going to make a couple phone calls and see if they can swing an edge rusher off the pile. They've only brought in one edge rusher for the undrafted free agent class, Elijah Norris out of UConn.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So I mean, they what's strange though is they brought in four cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. From UDFA. So I mean, like, clearly they feel like that's a little bit more of a priority for depth for them than edge. But clearly, that I think it also goes to show that they think that Aaron Lynch is timetable for recovery is good, and that they're putting. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to rely on Lynch, but clearly they think that, you know, he's going to be able to handle the burden when he's back.
Yeah, I mean, at this point we're relying on him pretty heavily because we have. You know, him and Leonard Floyd, I mean, yeah, Sam Acho, I think, you know, everybody knows how I feel about Sam Acho. I'm concerned with the edge position, but, you know, we've got quality depth at so many other positions that I have faith that Pace will find some sort of a solution. We need Leonard Floyd to have a breakout year.
Absolutely. Yeah, the time is now for Leonard Floyd, and I think that we'll have a better idea of I don't know. With a lot of these rookie classes, it's frustrating because, like, there's always a few guys that come out of nowhere. For all we know, somebody else in the defense will pick up the slack, and the edge rushing issue will not even be something a priority because we're getting sacks from other positions, or et cetera. You know, so I think that it's a problem for later, not necessarily a problem for now. At least I'm willing to, you know, and again, this is an issue for. Others, that is not an issue for me. I'm willing to trust Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Vic Fangio. They clearly know what they're doing. I don't. So I'm going to just let them do things and save my criticisms for when they fail.
No, I hear you. You know, some people may disagree with this, but I feel like they've definitely earned some trust from us that they're going to fix the position, and that's all we can hope for, right? And
there's a lot of people that do not want anything to do. Like, I mean, then again, we're going to have an episode during this off season before training camp starts in earnest about just the Bear fan mentality. But we'll cover that in another episode for sure. We'll get a group of guys in here and have a good discussion about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got one more draft pick to discuss. Javon Wims,
seventh rounder out of another Georgia player.
Javon Wims, wide receiver, University of Georgia.
He's 6'3", 215 pounds, great size. He was Georgia's best receiver in his senior year. And he's a guy who, you know, I think that he could surprise you. I didn't get his measurables as far as his arms. I didn't have a chance to watch too much of his highlight tape just because it came in so late in the day and I was basically a pile of mush by the end of the draft. But Wims is, again, the guy who is going to work the bottom of the roster, and he's got great measurables to maybe see if he finds a rhythm with Chase Daniel and Mitch Trubisky and prove that he belongs.
Yeah, you know, I think that this could be the end of Josh Bellamy.
Oh no, not that.
Yeah. Wims can play special teams. So I think that, you know, where maybe a little hesitant to say goodbye to Bellamy, he can hopefully fill that role. But more importantly, when I watch this kid on tape, his ability to high point the ball is pretty impressive. He's not going to beat you with separation, but he's got a basketball background, and that comes through when he's going up to catch this ball. One of the most frustrating things for me is when you got a guy who's like 6'4", 6'5", and they never outjump anybody. They're still sitting there kind of waiting for the ball to come down to them, where this guy is the exact opposite of that. He is going to go up, and he's going to fight you for the ball, and in a lot of cases, he comes down with it, and that's going to be pretty interesting come red zone time for us. So I love the pick. I was a big Auden Tate fan. And this kid is very similar to Auden Tate, except he's got the head on his shoulders that I think Auden Tate maybe doesn't have. So I'm really excited about Wims, and I think that we're going to see a little bit of a surprise out of him. I'm predicting now that he makes the 53.
I would assume he would as well. I think that Bellamy's time is running out, and with his tradition of dropping passes, I don't think that Sims or Wims is going to have that issue. So yeah, I think he'll make the team. I mean, again, he's seventh round pick, so I'm not going to devote like a ton of energy to what he's capable of doing. But I mean, he's got the great size, and if he can pick up those alley oops and go up and get it, all the more power to him, and hopefully it brings a very valuable depth addition to the team for this year.
Absolutely.
So we'll wrap things up here a bit backwards. We'll do some Bears blurbs here.
Now, in a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullshit that happened somewhere today.
Oh, man, I'm so high right now. I have no idea what's going on.
It was kind of a bittersweet week. Last week before the draft, we saw two Bears greats. Devin Hester and Matt Forte both retired as on one-day contracts as members of the Chicago Bears, and it was a pretty cool little ceremony. Did you happen to watch any of that went down?
No, you know, obviously I was out of the country, so I didn't get a chance to see that, but I did read up on it, and I saw a couple things, a couple comments that both of them had to make. I saw Forte took a billboard out on Dan Ryan.
Yeah, that was great.
Very cool, very cool. So this is what it's all about, you know, and I think this is something that maybe was missing in years past. Bringing some guys who have laid it all on the line for your franchise over their careers and bringing them back and celebrating the great things that they accomplished, even if they don't end their career with the Bears. So I'm glad that they did it. And it was exciting just to see them back around Hallis Hall.
Yeah, and that's been a major issue with the Phil Emery era, kind of thumbed his nose at a lot of the Lovey era Bears, the Super Bowl NFC champion anyway Bears, and the Bears have worked really hard. At least I'm assuming with their working on their image, his goodwill, and these guys, Matt Forte, obviously he's among. I mean, when you're talking about franchises with all time great running backs, Matt Forte is among them. He's among the Walter Payton, the Gale Sayers, the greats of the sport, and it's very strange to see, like, you know, he didn't have the career he wanted to as a Bear, and when he spoke, he was kind of wistful about how his major regret was that he couldn't bring a title to the Bears. I could tell that really impacted him, because he gave so much to the franchise. Devin Hester, obviously, guy's basically a living legend. And it was very interesting to hear him get really emotional when talking about Lovie Smith, and obviously how much Lovie meant to him as he had so many other players who played under him. But he was asked about the possibility of the return game being just phased out of the NFL altogether. And it really kind of cemented that, you know, there really isn't ever going to be another player ever like Devin Hester. He was one of a kind and like the last of his kind, because the game has changed.
Yeah. On the Forte front, I mean, that you hit the nail on the head. You have Walter Payton, you have Gale Sayers, and then you have Matt Forte. I know some people may put an argument up for Neil Anderson, but Forte, to me, was, you know, had a much better, well, not much better, but had a better career than Neil Anderson, especially in a Bears uniform. Forte is your typical, lunch pail type running back. I don't think he was specifically great at one thing, but he was so good at everything. And when you have a player like that, it's so easy to maybe take him for granted. And I think we may have done that, myself included, over the years with Forte. But when you look back and think of the things that he accomplished, obviously on the ground, but also in the passing game, I mean, we were very fortunate to have him as our lead back for so many years.
Yeah. And can you imagine if he was just entering his like third or fourth season, and how wonderfully he would have fit into Nagy's offense? Like, it's such a shame that he's just not in his prime.
Yeah.
He would absolutely love this offense, you know?
Yeah. The Devin Hester thing, I mean, I understand what they're doing with kickoffs. I mean, so many serious injuries were taking place on kickoffs, right, that I get it, but just looking back over his career, I don't know if there's too many Chicago or athletes in Chicago in any sport that created that many memories for me, like Devin Hester. I mean, to be honest, when I think Michael Jordan, I think Walter Payton and Devin Hester. as far as memories that are burned in my memory from the Super Bowl return to the all the different returns that he's had, the Monday night game in Arizona. I mean, this guy was just in a league of his own when it came to return men and special teams players. And, you know, it's a shame that we're probably never going to see somebody like him again. But I got to be honest with you, even if, I feel pretty confident that even if, the kickoffs were the same as they were back then, I feel pretty confident saying we would still never see somebody like Devin Hester.
No. Yeah, I'm with you there. The numbers are just...
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes. No, I mean, I have no doubt that he's a Hall of Famer. He may not be first ballot, depending on who's in his class. But, I mean, he's going to wear a jacket someday. I mean, the numbers are just absolutely...
There's a lot of dialogue. I definitely don't think he'll be a first ballot. But there's a lot of people out there saying that he does not belong in Canton.
Dude, he had 20 return touchdowns in his career. I mean, that's an anomaly. And I mean, the most, when the ball was in his hands for a solid period of like 5 or 6 years, he was the most dangerous player in the NFL. There was entire strategies formed around stopping him, and he still overcame it. You got to give a lot of credit to Dave Tobe and the special teams prowess of those years for being catalysts for Hester's greatness. But when the guy was just, when he had the ball in his hand, it was magic. And it was on the biggest stage, the Super Bowl return. I mean, obviously the game didn't work out how we would like it to, but you got to be kidding me. The guy, the first play of the Super Bowl, he takes it back. I mean, the one thing that the Colts knew they should have done, not kick to Devin Hester, and if they did kick it to him, don't let him, get upfield. He tortures him anyway. I mean, it was his legendary stuff. He deserves that jacket, in my opinion. There's nobody like him. And I mean, obviously, he didn't have the kind of, he didn't really pan out at all at any other position. He was a mediocre receiver at best, kind of a gimmick. I mean, I barely remember him playing cornerback when he started his career. But the fact is that they took him as early as they did because he was special. And I mean, I'm glad the Bears have him back in the fold. I'm glad he retired in Chicago. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that it was really kind of awesome to hear Devin talk about. He was actually, he never won a title, but he got called by the Eagles last year. Mm-hmm. And they were going to pick him up, and he just kind of realized he was like hanging out with his family. He had never had the time to do that before, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I've just kind of realized that I want to be with my family. I want to spend time with them. I've lost so many years with them. And it's like, that when he said that was his priority, it's like, that's a good man. And that, I feel like that deserves a tremendous amount of recognition in addition to this insane career he had. But yeah, he'll wear a jacket someday.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're right, because, like I said earlier, he was truly a human highlight reel. And every team knew going in that, they game planned not to kick it to him. And yet he still had the success that he had. It was amazing. And I think him and if he does get in, I hope he has either Lovie Smith or Dave Tobe, present him into the Hall, because those three guys together was like a match made in heaven, because Lovie Smith knew the importance of special teams, and Dave Tobe, being such a great special teams coach, was able to bring the best out in Hester. So yeah, I hope he makes it, and it'll be an exciting day if he does.
Well, you didn't let us bring it home.
Bring it home. All right, let's bring it home.
Well, Chris, do you have any other final thoughts you want to spew before we call it a day?
I don't know. We covered a lot. I got to say, I'm looking at our roster, and you got to feel pretty good about where we're at as Bears fans. We're in a tough division, and when you look at the improvements made from the Vikings to the Lions to, and obviously the Packers are always going to be there,
yep.
We are in a very, very tough division. But when I look at our roster top to bottom, and again, we're not done. I know there's still going to be some guys brought in. There'll be some cuts around the league, some other people we can take a look at. But I feel good about this roster. I mean, I think that we have everything I've seen out of Mitch tells me he's the real deal on and off the field. And when you have a franchise quarterback, off the field is extremely important. He's got the head to be the leader in the face of this franchise. You know, we brought in a backup. I think that's going to really help him ensure that we've got, that he's got a firm grasp of the offense. We got two really good running backs. You know, we're the depth of wide receiver, not just wide, you know, the players we have, but the age. I mean, we have a core of receivers and tight ends, and now we've added a couple bodies on the offensive line, and we're developing our young players. I'm excited, especially for this offense. It's going to come down to one guy, and it's going to be Mitch Trubisky if he can bring all the other pieces together. But I think he's going to be able to, especially with Nagy as the head coach. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, we had a top 10 defense last year, but I think we all felt like we were lacking that face of the franchise. And I'm hoping with the pickup of Roquan Smith, that now we have that face of our defense that's going to take that defense from, you know, 10th or 11th in the NFL to potential top five. So I'm excited. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Pace kind of rounds out the rest of this roster. We still have a little bit of a hole on for another edge rusher, but I have confidence he's going to find the right guy to plug in there. And now it's about getting these guys committed here in the offseason and getting them ready for training camp.
Absolutely, and we'll kind of spread out the Bears Fans Online podcast throughout the summer months here, and we'll kind of do a few like specialty episodes. We're still working on some ideas for that, but we'll obviously keep checking in with what the Bears are doing, and once camp gets rolling around, we'll become a little bit more regular. But in the meantime, Chris, if the people, the wonderful listeners, want to catch you in your internet thoughts on the World Wide Web, particularly Twitter, where can they find you?
Yeah, you're gonna go. It's Chris Blazek at What's Your 40. Chris Blazek at What's Your 40 on Twitter.
You can follow Bears Fans Online by adding at Bears Fans Online, all one word. You can follow my personal thoughts at 1985_edition, or go to my blog, 1985edition.com, and read my thoughts. But in the meantime, you can always go to bearsfansonline.com, sign up for the message board, and join in on the off-season hijinks. We're going to have a good time. But thank you again for listening, for subscribing. We are available now on TuneIn as well as Stitcher, and we're trying to get basically everywhere. So we appreciate everyone who has subscribed, who has commented and liked our show. We appreciate it all very much. We will see you again soon, so stay tuned for the next episode of the wonderful BearsFansOnline.com podcast.